We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Look, Bud Dupree had his best year last year. And collectively, he and TJ, they're pretty good. And I'd like the change that Coach Tomlin made, putting TJ on the left, putting Bud on the right. Does Bud still have more? Absolutely. Bud's a starter on a winning team. Is it a playoff team? No. Does he have more to give? Absolutely. From an effort standpoint, no. It's not a lack of effort. It's just more. Let's turn that effort into more production. Can he? Will he? We'll see. Artie took a step backwards last year. It's not something we haven't talked about with him. Pretty much like Boz did, not as drastic because Artie technically wasn't the starter from a certain point in the season. And Artie's got to find his confidence. He really does. And that's something that we talked to him about, and he has to refine it. Does he have the talent? Have we seen it? Have we seen him be productive? We have. But unfortunately, last year he took a step back.
Kevin Colbert on two Steelers whipping boys, Bud Dupree and Artie Burns. I don't walk away from those comments feeling like Artie Burns and Bud Dupree are in danger of getting cut. And honestly, I think that's the predicament both guys should be in right now. Dupree, not because he's a totally useless player, but because of what they're scheduled to pay him next year. $9.2 million for that player.
Pays to be a first-round pick in the NFL, doesn't it?
They've got to negotiate that down. And if they can't, you've got to get rid of him.
Hold on, it doesn't sound like they're not. Stop right there. You heard that, man. He's the guy that would negotiate it down. You think he sounded like a guy right there that's going to go in into a closed-door meeting and say, Bud, I said all that publicly. You've been a total bust. No. He sounds like he's happy with the overall production, even though that was largely T.J. Watt-driven. What would bother me, you know what bothers me about that? I think Kevin Colbert's a pretty straight shooter. He should be more disappointed in the fact that, yeah, the guy seems to have a high motor, like he'll run up the field constantly. But how many years has he been in the league now? This is his fifth year. So he's played four full NFL seasons and hasn't figured out how to, like, make actual moves as a pass rusher.
Got one play, and that's the speed rusher.
Yeah, if he gets around the left tackle's outside shoulder,
and
he can get a sack.
He sprints 10 yards behind the quarterback and has to make
pivots up. And then spins inside, and by that time the play is over. Bud Dupree actually has two moves. He's unblocked, and then he usually gets home. Or he gets by the guy.
Yeah,
short.
I don't want to hear that he's great in coverage either, because I know he had a big pick against Tampa in week three. That was a nice win for the Steelers.
He had a pick against the Panthers when Cam Newton. That was him, right? Yeah.
No, that was Bince.
That was Bince. You're right. Bud had the pressure, I think, on that player. He was involved in it in some way. I don't want to hear it either. I don't want to hear about coverage. What Kevin Colbert is also underselling there is Bud Dupree too often does not present a threat on a play. Part of a thing that is a hugely underrated stat that at least I think Pro Football Focus does a better job than anybody of actually recognizing and charting is the quarterback hurry. How often do you make the quarterback uncomfortable even if you don't get home for a sack or even a hit? How often do you throw them off schedule? He hardly ever does.
Dupree's salary locks him into being a starter, and honestly, finding a guy on the other end of TJ Watt, it should not be a project pick. Like, oh, let's take maybe the pick we get back from Antonio Brown, if it's, say, a late second-round pick, and we'll take an outside linebacker who just plays minimally this year, and next year we expect him to break out once Bud, you know, heaven forbid, if they give Dupree an extension, I'll vomit.
I think if he gets to, like, seven or so sacks this year, they might.
No, that's not good enough for me. I mean, $9.2 million, that's the kind of money you're paying Joe Hayden, and I know it's a different position. But it's a pass-catching league. It's a quarterback-driven league. You need people to either get pressure or run with these wide receivers, and Hayden has at least proven to do the latter. And as far as Artie Burns is concerned, It's a confidence thing. I gave up on that a long time ago. Over the last 10 games, he played 14 snaps. He's due $3 million this year. If you cut Burns, it frees up $2 million in cap space. That's got to be on the table. That has to absolutely be on the table, and not in a situation where let's go to training camp with him. If he gets beat by another guy, well then, okay, the best man won the job. No, that's something that you do now to give yourself additional spending money to go out and get a better player in free agency.
I think it's so hard if you drafted him and you thought he was going to be a big-time player, and in year one he actually played fairly well, I think it's hard for a team to give up on a guy like that. Here's the biggest indictment I'll give of Artie Burns. If you ask me, better chance Bud Dupree breaks out this year and has a great season or Artie Burns, I'd say Bud Dupree 10 times out of 10.
Me too.
And that is a stinging indictment from me and probably from you too, because this is not exactly the Bud Dupree is a great player radio show.
Is that radio show out there now that the Bud Dupree show is no longer?
I don't even think we talked. I did the Bud Dupree show a couple times. I don't really think Bud Dupree, the on-the-field player, was brought up that much. There's pro wrestling talk, serial talk.
Did you develop a kinship or a bond with Bud Dupree over that
show? I didn't dislike chatting with him, especially off the air. He had some funny little stories, but in terms of on the field, there was not much to say.
It has not kept you from
ripping Bud Dupree. Yeah. It has kept him so far from coming into the DMs to tell me I suck, which I know has happened.
Which is something he did to me, and then he also confronted Eric Hagman on Twitter.
Didn't he get into a fan's business,
yep,
too?
He did.
It was close. Ed, you're on the right track. Those two guys just illustrate to me, and I said it about Burns already, but I'll lump Dupree in, even though he's been a little more productive. You said he's not totally a useless player, and that's probably a fair assessment. I just think it is very tough for this franchise that has had a draft in 1974 yield so many Hall of Famers. Like, the tradition of the franchise is that you build through the draft, and it's always been something they've prided themselves in. I think it's very difficult for them to admit that guys are just straight-up busts.
That's a great point, and I think that's true. When you're Culber, it's harder to give up on the first-round pick because that's really the standard in which you're measured by. So many people look at what you do in the first round. Are you finding all pros? Are you getting players in who are championship-caliber players? And they've drafted defense six consecutive years, and frankly, what do they have to show for it?
Hayward,
what do they have?
Hayward wasn't one of those guys. Yeah, I always forget that he was.
Because DeCastro was picked after him. So Jarvis Jones is, you know, probably on the marquee in terms of worst picks.
Burns is rocketing up there,
yes,
though.
Yes, he is.
Burns actually might be ahead of him because it's at such a position of dire need for them. And and in Colbert's words, you almost couldn't rip him as much because he lost his job. He wasn't even a starter. So he couldn't be he was so disappointing that he actually wasn't that disappointing. And I think it's tough for him, too, not just because that's how he's measured, but because he's seen a couple of times in his tenure as GM a guy be, I'll call it underwhelming his first year on defense as a first-round pick and then turn into a Hall of Famer in Troy Polamalu. He's seen maybe Cam Hayward start out as a big-name pick but not really come into his own until a little bit later in his career. He's seen Shazier now become a total loss for no reason that's no fault of anyone's, just a freak accident, and he was getting better, it looked like.
You can't use the Shazier tragedy to either excuse or some way marginalize the swings and misses Dupree and Artie Burns. And I think I hear too many people who say things like, well, if Shazier's out there, by his mere presence, he makes all these other guys we're talking about better. And I respect Shazier, the player he was becoming, but I don't think he was he was not Lawrence Taylor, where he was
Who's the best inside backer in the league that you can think of right now? Van Der Esch is quickly.
Keekly.
Keekly's great. Okay. Van Der Esch looks like he's quickly becoming one. He was a very good Pro Bowl caliber player. I would not have called him an all-pro. I'm not excusing it. I'm not using that as like an excuse for the other guys not being good. I'm saying Colbert not wanting to give up on guys because he's seen players in year two or three or sometimes even four truly blossom. They need When did they stop becoming able, or when did it just become a rule of thumb that they would draft dudes and would not expect big impacts in year one? It's not impossible. Other teams draft players that are great players right from
Edmonds
the get-go.
Edmonds played a ton of snaps, but I thought he was just okay.
The best thing I could say about him is that I think, from my somewhat still untrained eye, he got better from game 1 to game 16. But what he ended up at was not like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, Edmonds did not close the season in a way that made me feel
look at
like
his other
got
look
future.
At his other top picks, too. Like, second-rounder, Sean Davis has regressed, or
yep.
I think has flatlined.
I agree.
Hargrave is a good football player,
doesn't
I think,
play
at a not important position on
or
the field.
Or at least the way that they use the nose tackle, it doesn't make
like
it.
Like, Casey Hampton, in a different era, was a monster who dominated people up front and was used a lot. That's different. Hargrave is a situational football player.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.